Dr. Ben Singer joins us from Northwestern Hospital. If you have a coronavirus-related question to ask the doctor, 312-981-7200. We have one line open. Dr. Ben, how has your week been?
It's been just fine. Thank you for asking.
I wanted to ask you about COVID toes. I'm sure you've heard about this. I've seen it all over social media. Can you explain COVID toes?
Yeah, it's a real phenomenon. It's kind of a modeling of the toes that we see in some patients with COVID-19. It's still not entirely clear what causes it. We do know that some people with COVID-19, particularly when it's really severe, have a tendency for their blood to clot more easily than it would otherwise. And when that happens in the small, tiny vessels of the hands and feet, it can look like that.
Wow.
But again, there's more to learn about that.
As the weather gets warmer, are we going to see less cases of COVID-19, or we just don't know at this point?
I certainly hope so, but I think it's too early to tell. It's true that many respiratory viruses like influenza tend to peak in the late winter and early spring and then go away in the summer. But when we've seen pandemics of respiratory viruses, that often isn't the case. So I think we just have to see.
And how have things been at Northwestern this week?
They've been pretty stable. We're still very busy. We've had to really expand our capacity to take care of patients with COVID-19, but we are not continuing to see that rapid rise in patients that we were seeing a few weeks ago.
Got it. All right. Let's go to Mark in St. John, Indiana. Mark, what's your question for Dr. Ben?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've noticed on the news they talk about people that have recovered from the virus is like 80,000. But there's 954,000 cases and 54,000 deaths. So why isn't that in the hundreds of thousands?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the way these numbers are tracked can be tricky. And without having the numbers in front of me, it's hard for me to verify exactly what set of numbers you're looking at. But again, in order to say that you've recovered presumes that you've had a diagnosis. And because I think as everyone on the audience is well aware, it's been really hard to get tests.
Right.
And so it doesn't count the people necessarily who had symptoms for all the world, almost certainly had it, but didn't get tested.
Do you think people had this in Chicago back in December?
Probably not. It's possible that there were a few sporadic cases that maybe one or two people had but didn't transmit. I think based on the data we have, that's less likely, though.
Do you recommend, of course, everyone recommends that we should wear masks in public, but what about gloves?
Probably not. If you need gloves to stay warm, that's another thing. Today, fortunately, it's looking a lot warmer. But in general, no, gloves can cause more problems than good, mostly because the reason that you wash your hands less.
Really? So if I wear gloves into a grocery store and then when I get home, I wash my hands, that's not double protection?
It's probably okay, but you think about all those times when you're in the grocery store that you might put some hand sanitizer on, used a wipe on something that got, were able to also disinfect your hands.
Right.
When you're wearing gloves, it's going to be much less effective.
I'm wearing, it's 60 degrees and sunny in Chicago, and I wore leather gloves into Juul today. Boy, I look like an idiot. Let's go to Lynn in Skokie. Lynn, you're on with Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern. What's your question?
Thank you. I'm asking you whether I'm being overly cautious with the mail. When I get it, I let it sit for two, three days, open it up, take out the contents, let it sit another day or two. And I'm just wondering, am I being overly cautious regarding the mail, or can I just handle it the way I always have, opening it up as soon as we get it?
Doc?
We have no evidence of the virus being transmitted through the mail or packages. That being said, if it makes you more comfortable to let it sit for a few days, I don't think there's a harm in doing that, but it probably is a bit overkill.
312-981-7200. We have one line open. Let's go to Colleen in Joliet. You're on with Dr. Ben. What's your question?
Oh, hi, I've been wondering this ever since this started. There's a difference chemically between soap and detergent, I think. Is either one effective?
Right. So detergent is probably a more formal word for what most people would think of as soaps. whether you call it soap or detergent, they are very effective in getting rid of the virus. So soap and water, washing your hands, that's a really good way to disrupt the virus. Just because I gotta say it, none of these disinfectants, detergents or otherwise, should be injected, consumed, taken by mouth. These are only to be used on the skin if they're meant to be used that way, or on surfaces if they're meant for surfaces.
Should we wash our clothes or our coat when we get home from the grocery store or, I don't know, being out in public?
Yeah, it's a good thought. I don't see a harm in it. But again, we really don't have a lot of evidence of COVID-19 being transmitted on fabrics. If you want to wash your clothes, I think that's totally fine to do. But it's much more important to pay attention to the social distancing, hand washing. Those are the main ways that we're going to be able to slow the spread.
The 708 area code, can the virus be spread through secondhand smoke?
That's a good question.
Wow.
Probably not via the smoke itself. But every time you take a deep breath and exhale, like you might with smoking or vaping, which of course I recommend not doing anyway, or coughing in particular, you're spreading these droplets that can carry the virus.
815 area code. Can you ask the doctor if Illinois is testing more people than other states? It obviously will show more positives than other states. It shows other states are bending the curve and Illinois is not. Are we testing more people in our state?
We're doing okay. There are some states that are above or below. I think one number to pay attention to is the percent of positive tests. I know that gets a little bit complicated, but if you think about it, as we test more and more people, if you pay attention just to not the total number, which is something else to pay attention to for other reasons, but the percent of positives, that's a good number to keep track of.
Got it. Dr. Ben, I'm going to have you hold on. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to take it up to the bottom of the hour. We're going to carry the governor's press conference live, as we do every single day here at WGN. Dr. Ben Singer on the phone with us. We'll carry the governor live when he walks up to the podium at 2:30. Doc, let's go to Georgia on the southwest side. Georgia, what's your question for Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern?
My question is that I want to go like to McDonald's or something to get some food, but I'm kind of nervous. I'm thinking, well, maybe the people that's preparing the food has the virus. So can you give me, what should I do about that?
Drive-thrus are open. I know Starbucks are opening up in the city right now, Doc, where they're going to bring your order to your car. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Drive-through, the curbside carry-out, those are good ways to get the food. As far as the people working in restaurants, all restaurants I know of are taking great precautions mm-hmm. to make sure that their food safety is as safe as ever and that people who are sick are not working in the restaurant.
Right. They tell people if you're feeling anything, even a sniffle, stay at home. Don't come to work. Let's go to Sam in Bridgeview. Sam, what's your question for Dr. Ben?
Yes, hi. Mosquito season's coming up and around the corner. Will the mosquitoes transfer the COVID virus around?
That's a great question, Sam. Doc?
The answer is no. So while mosquitoes certainly carry other viruses, West Nile virus and others, the coronavirus is spread through respiratory droplets. So when you take a deep breath, cough, sneeze, and these droplets are shed from your mouth and nose, those are the particles that carry the droplet. It's not through mosquito infection.
We get this question every single week. Do masks work?
Masks are probably most effective in protecting other people from a infected individual. Right. So there's less evidence that a cloth covering is going to protect you, although it probably provides some small degree of protection, but it's much more effective in limiting the spread of the virus from an infected person to someone else in a public space.
So if someone's infected, well, I guess if you're asymptomatic or if you're carrying the virus and you don't know it, you need to wear a mask. That's why everyone's wearing a mask. I'm just trying to work through it in my head.
Okay. Absolutely. So certainly if you are experiencing symptoms, you should definitely be staying home. But the idea behind the universal masking recommendation is this idea that the virus can be transmitted by people who are not showing symptoms or who have yet to show symptoms and might get sick in a day or two. It's to try to limit spread from those types of individuals.
When they start testing people that are asymptomatic, that aren't going to get the virus, are they going to have a card or maybe something on our driver's license or wear a bracelet in the future? Have they talked about that? How do we know that someone is asymptomatic and is not going to spread?
Yeah, it's hard. So I think the test you're referring to isn't the swab in the nose. It's the blood test or the antibody test that we're hearing more and more about. It's a really good question. There are still a lot of unknowns about that test, particularly how accurate it is, how accurate it's going to be. And then the big question, which is, if I have the antibody, am I actually protected from the virus? We certainly hope that's true. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of evidence that that's true, but we don't know it for a scientific fact yet. And we also don't know if it's protected, how long it's going to last. Remember, the first person to ever have this virus was just a few months ago. So it's really unclear if this is going to be a protection that would last months, years, or perhaps forever, like it is for some viruses.
And think about that. It was just a few months ago, and it spread all over the planet. It's crazy. Let's go to Gwen in Chicago. Gwen, what is your question for Dr. Ben?
Hi. Hey, doctor. Can you catch the virus from people touching produce?
Another great question. If someone is touching produce, what do you do for that? I mean, can you catch it from produce?
Yeah, I think that's less of a risk. Okay. It would mean that someone sneezed on produce in the grocery store, and then you picked it up, touched it with your hands, and then touched your face. I mean, that it just seems less likely. The current recommendation is to handle your produce like has been recommended otherwise, giving it a rinse when you get home and storing it properly.
630 area code. I have a box of yellow masks from 2014, or they expired in 2014. Are they ineffective, and why do masks expire?
That's a good question. So if they're past their expiration date, it's unclear how effective they will be. They are probably still more effective than not wearing a mask. But the reason is that the materials that make up different types of masks don't last forever. They're made up, particularly some of the respirator masks and the masks that we have in the hospital are made up of plastic materials and other fibers that unfortunately just don't last forever.
All right, let's go to Rob in Chicago. Rob, what's your question for Dr. Ben? Go ahead.
Dr. Ben, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, listen, I know everybody's got to get a haircut. I've got to get a haircut, but I've also got to get my teeth cleaned. And I'm scared to death to find out what's going on, like in the dental profession, what they're going to be doing, walking into a place where, there's a lot of saliva and there's a lot of other things that are there. And I don't know if I should be canceling this or asking them what they're doing, but that's something that's scaring me to death.
Doc?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So most routine dental care has kind of been put on hold. I mean, I know I had a routine cleaning a few weeks ago that was canceled by the office. I think that's appropriate. But as things start opening up again, this is for routine care. Obviously, emergency dental care is something different, but for routine things, dentists' offices are going to have to be equipped to protect themselves and protect their patients, just like we do in the hospital or the intensive care unit, where we're exposed to all kinds of bodily fluids that could carry the virus.
They're going to be extra careful. I think everybody is nowadays, especially when we start opening things up. Dr. Ben, I'm going to have you hold on a second. We're going to take another quick break. Get nightly updates on COVID-19's impact in Chicago and nationwide weeknights at 10:30 on WGN-TV, then all the day's sports at a new time, GN Sports weeknights at 10:45. Coming up, we're going to carry the governor live, and at 3:30, we're going to grab the Bears' first pick, number 43, Cole Kmet, a local guy that went to the University of Notre Dame. Cole is going to join us at 3:30, but on the phone with us is Dr. Ben Singer. Let's go to Debbie in Arlington Heights. Debbie, what's your question?
Hi, Dr. Ben. I have a question. I live in a low-income disabled housing unit that used to be a nursing home. All our units have air that blows in and blows out from one unit to another. I am a very high risk. I'm 56 years old. I do suffer from 7 chronic illnesses. I'm a sitting duck here. They won't let us close our vents off, but they allow people to come into our building, even though it's been closed down for visitors, for voting, which we were all quite shocked that all these people were coming into our building not wearing masks, you know, coming in to vote.
Right, which is, hold on, Debbie, which is a little crazy, but they're shared vents, Doc. What's your response to that?
Yeah, that's a hard situation. I think keeping the vents open is actually a good thing, though. Air circulation is a good thing to keep fresh air coming through. Unless there is something that is done in a hospital, like a procedure that really creates a lot of what we call aerosols, meaning the virus really, really gets churned up into the air. The droplets that are spread from person to person don't travel that far. That's where the 6-foot separation comes from. And so if you have that 6-foot separation and you have airflow, I think that that's okay. But certainly being in close quarters with people, this is a virus that spreads very easily. So taking the precautions that I'm sure you're doing, washing your hands as much as you can, wiping down the things that you touch often, like phones, whatever you keep your hands on in your environment. Those are the good ideas to keep you safe.
Thank you, Debbie. We have one line open, 312-981-7200. Is the same go for walking or running outside if you're 6 feet from someone? Because you always hear the rumors of, well, 6 feet outside, if someone's running and they're blowing and the wind's blowing, you know, you could get some droplets.
Yeah, you can. But remember, the wind is going to be able to really diffuse any droplets, and the droplets will still settle just because of gravity pretty well, and airflow is a good thing. So 6 feet still makes sense, but that recommendation about keeping your face covered, it's not comfortable when you're out running or working out, particularly as it gets warmer, but it's still a good recommendation.